Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I am Pastor Jacob Yohanan. I am so thrilled to be here with you this Easter Sunday morning. Pastor Jeff and I co-pastor together here at Trinity, and it's been a joy to serve the Lord together. This is a very, very special morning, and I want to tell you a couple of quick things right off the bat. Happy Easter, Christ is risen. Do you ever get tired of hearing that? No. You know, I want to tell you a couple things about our church. Our church loves God's Word, and if you show up on another Sunday, it will look almost like this without the extra musicians. You will always hear about Jesus. Always. You will always hear why He is unique and the only one that gives us salvation and hope. The way to have a life that's filled with joy. So you'll always hear the gospel here, no matter who's preaching. The songs will be about Jesus. And I guarantee you that you will walk away reevaluating your life. Another thing is we really believe what we're saying. You know, sometimes I think people wonder, do you really believe all that? Absolutely. I'm a New Yorker. I used to serve in some different churches in the New York metro area. And there's a special church in North Jersey called Covenant Church that used to have a very early sunrise service. Have you guys ever been to a sunrise Easter morning service? Well, imagine a lot colder on the northeast, in the northeast. They used to ask me to do this for a couple years straight. I was helping them out for a few years when I was in New York, and very, very, very early, very cold morning. And one of the things I used to tell the people who showed up is, in a million years, I would never do this for a dead guy. In a million years, I would never do this for a dead person. But I would do this any day of the week for my Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and loves me and who I walk with and talk with every day, sometimes every hour. We do believe this. Jeff and I, the elders, the officers, the ministry leaders, we believe Jesus was real. We believe Jesus walked the earth. We believe He came and lived for us and died for us and rose again on a day like this. Right over the Passover, right after the Passover, for us. And so we believe this is absolutely true. So just another quick word before we go into this little passage about the resurrection encounter with the women who showed up at the tomb. My personal testimony as a pastor is that I've gone through many difficult things like many of you, and some of you may be going through some hard things right now, today. But I want you to know, and I mean this with all my heart, that I have experienced the presence of the living Jesus in my life. I don't claim to have heard audible words, but I have felt Him in the room. I have felt His comfort. I have felt His care at moments where I had nothing else, where things were crumbling around me. I have felt His grace. I have felt His favor. I have felt that I'm not talking to dead air. I have felt Him. And those who believe in Jesus know this to be true, that He is alive and well, and that we actually walk and talk with Him every single day, sometimes every hour, sometimes every half hour, sometimes every minute. Unlike Buddha or Confucius or Muhammad or the other lives that have lived on the earth that are considered beautiful lives, there's maybe two or three top lives that have ever been lived that are considered beautiful. Jesus is the only one that has claimed to be God. Do you know Buddha never said, I am God? He said, follow my teachings, but he never said, follow me. He didn't say, worship me. You see, in this passage that we just heard from Ethan, thank you, Ethan, it says that the women actually fell at Jesus when Jesus greeted them, and they touched his feet and started worshiping him. And notice, Jesus does not say, stop, don't worship me. Buddha said that. Buddha said, I'm not God. Follow my teachings. But Jesus is the only one that accepted worship. Secondly, I just want to say for all the young people in the room and anyone else who might wonder if this is all true, they've never found his body. You know, there are stories that were made up later on in this passage. It says they were told, the soldiers, the guards at the tomb were told to say that his disciples came and snatched him away. Well, where's the body? The most unique and controversial figure in the history of the whole earth. If there was a body, they would have found it. Two, if they would have found it, everyone would have known. They have never found that body. Do you know why? Because he is risen. He's not dead. And I want to read to you a few words from a wonderful theologian and author. He is now with Jesus in heaven. But I'm going to read this to you. This is from R.C. Sproul. By the way, a lot of the things that I want to share today are from the ministry of Dr. R.C. Sproul. I owe a debt of gratitude to Ligonier Ministries and the books and commentaries and things like that. But listen to this. The resurrection of Jesus is radical in the original sense of the word. It touches the radix, the root of the Christian faith. Without it, Christianity becomes just another religion designed to titillate our moral senses with platitudes of human wisdom. The Apostle Paul spelled out the clear and irrefutable consequences of a resurrectionless Christianity. If Christ is not raised, he reasoned, we are left with the following list of conclusions. This is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, some of which our elder Steve LeBlanc read. Listen again, if Christ is not raised, he reasoned, the Apostle Paul, we are left with the following list of conclusions. One, our preaching is futile. Oh man, all those Sundays. All those Sundays and all the prep time. Gone, done, waste. If Christ was not risen, our preaching is futile. Our faith is in vain. You are to be laughed at to say that you have faith in a God that's living and that actually sent his son and died and rose again. You'll be laughed at. We've misrepresented God. Here's a big one. If Jesus has not been raised, we are still in our sins. And that's terrible. If we are still in our sins, we are hopeless people. Because sin is our greatest problem. Sin, the Bible tells us, leads to death. Because the penalty of sin is death. You'll find that all over the Bible. And it's true because we all die. And do you know why we die? Not because of the circle of life, but because sin demands death. So we would still be in our sins. Fifthly, our loved ones who have died have perished. You'll never see them again. And lastly, we are of all men most to be pitied. We are of all people most to be pitied. You know why? Because you've lived only for the here and now and the temporary. And there is nothing else. There is nothing else afterwards. You're done after this. What a horrible existence. These six consequences, R.C. Sproul says, sharply reveal the inner connection of the resurrection to the substance of Christianity. The resurrection of Jesus is the sine qua non of the Christian faith. Take away the resurrection, and you take away Christianity. Can I say that again? Take away the resurrection, and you take away Christianity. The very purpose of Jesus coming to earth. Do you like Christmas? Do you like Christmas more than Easter? Don't say it. I love Christmas. It's the most wonderful time of the year, right? But I want to tell you, here at Trinity, we will never celebrate Christmas without talking about the cross. without talking about the death of Jesus, without talking about his rising again, because I have some verses for you today, so I'm going to try to go through the verses as much as, or quickly as possible, because God's word is always better than our words. Because at the time of Jesus' birth, the very purpose of his coming to earth as a baby was told to us, revealed to us, explained to us by the angels. First, the angel says to the shepherds, Luke 2:11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And the meaning of Savior is explained by an angel who instructed Joseph, the husband of Mary, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." How? How will he save? By dying for our sake, for our sins. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. How will he save us? By dying. For what? For our sins that separate us from God. Jesus himself says, just before he was to be crucified, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose, I have come to this hour." You know, Jesus himself, right before he was put to death on the cross, says this, "For this reason I have come, for this hour, for this moment of death." So brothers and sisters, listen, Jesus came to die for our sin payment and rose again to victory. And in this passage that Ethan read for us, Matthew 28:1-10, we encounter the story of Jesus' resurrection, where some of the women, Mary, two Marys, Mary Magdalene and another Mary, they come to the tomb and they see an angel who tells them he's not here. The angel's already rolled away the stone. He is not here. And the angel says, he's not here. You won't find him. He's risen. Go and tell my brothers. So I am not going to exposit this passage today. I'm sorry for that. We always exposit the Scriptures here at Trinity. We unfold it, sometimes verse by verse, sometimes a section by section. But today I'm going to actually treat it a bit more topically and give you quickly four assurances, four truths that we can learn about the resurrection, okay? Four truths that we can learn about the resurrection. I know I'm holding up five while I'm saying four. That's what happens when you don't sleep enough. All right, the first is, it proved that Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God, that he was divine. Secondly, because of the resurrection, we're given an assurance of our, and we use a heavy word, a biblical word, a religious word, theological word, justification. But I'm going to explain that. Because of the resurrection, we are given assurance of our restoration and right standing with God again. Because of the resurrection, we're assured of our right standing with God again. Thirdly, we're assured of the living Lord Jesus even now ministering to us. By the way, do you know you're not alone? Ever? He's ministering to you every moment of every day. And I'm going to come to that. And the last one is, Jesus' resurrection for the dead, listen, assures us of our own resurrection. Isn't that good? Jesus' resurrection from the dead assures us and guarantees for us our own resurrection from the dead one day. So let me go through these somewhat quickly. First, it proved that Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God. Actually, you know what? I didn't pray. So let me pray for us for a moment. Father, thank you for this day, a commemoration of the day that you rose again from the dead victoriously for us. You conquered death. It was the death of death and the death of Christ because of the resurrection. And so, Lord, we thank you for this. Bless these words, and I pray, O God, that you may hide my words behind your words and give us eyes to see your Son. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans 1:4 says this, "And was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord." That's the Apostle Paul. He says that as the divine Son of God, Jesus had to live. Now listen to what I'm saying. Jesus of Nazareth, a human who lived in Nazareth, son of a carpenter, was the divine Son of God, and he had to live even after the cross because of his godness. It was impossible for Jesus' body to remain cold and lifeless in the tomb. It was impossible for the human nature of Jesus to remain dead because of its union with his divine nature. Acts 2:24, the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost says this, God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Do you get what I'm saying? The divine nature with the human nature of Jesus, the unique God-man, would not allow him to stay and be held by death's grip. Jesus' body could not and would not remain in the grave because he was the Son of God Almighty, the God-man. And by raising him up, God was saying with all declarative certainty, God the Father was saying, this truly is my Son. This truly is the Son of God. Do you remember at the cross there was a soldier, a centurion, a soldier who was over 100, called a centurion, who at the death of Jesus and the earthquake and the darkness said, truly this was the Son of God. Now, 3 days later, God the Father is declaring with all certainty, without a shadow of a doubt, he says, this is my Son, the Son of God, essence of my essence. He is divine. And friends, what I'm trying to tell you is this, death cannot hold him. Death cannot hold the one who said, I am the bread of life. I am the living water. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Dying? How can you put his name in the same sentence with death? Well, he did die, but it could not hold him. Secondly, the resurrection of Jesus assures us of our right standing with God, our justification. This is what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. That's what I read earlier for you. All of this would be nothing. All of this would be a waste. We are to be pitied more than all people. Listen, if Jesus remained dead in the tomb, it means that he was just another rabbi, a good teacher, a good person, and the weighty payment of sins would not have been paid by a truly righteous sacrifice. In other words, the holy God's wrath would not have been extinguished and satisfied by a just and necessary payment, thus leaving us as guilty as ever, because it would have been an unworthy sacrifice and a false payment. Do you hear what I said? If the resurrection didn't happen, that would have been a false payment, and we would still be under the wrath of God, and we would be as guilty as ever because of it. This is what Romans 4:25 says. He was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Now I want to say something here. Jesus' sinless and perfect life and sin-bearing death on the Roman cross paid for our sin punishment and accomplished the full payment. So we're not saying that his death didn't buy us the right standing with God. His death did that. But his resurrection assures us that the payment was accepted and we are indeed made right with the holy God. No doubts, no fears, confident assurance. All debts are canceled. And that's why Romans 8:11 says this. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to our mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Are you confident, friends? Do you know that you can be? You know, most of us live like we're still guilty. Why is that? Maybe we're not confident, but we can be because the Father raised him from the dead and accepted that payment. And so God the Father is saying, no more debts. None. Not even a small one. You are free. You are clear. You're my son. You're my daughter. Thirdly, we're assured of the living Lord Jesus even now ministering to us by interceding for us. Do you know, friends, you're never abandoned? You might think you're not good enough. You might think you need to get a few things straight in your life. You might think, oh, I've got to get back to church. I need to fix up my life a bit, get my ducks lined up in a row, whatever it is. Romans 5:8, one of my favorite verses says this, Christ died for us while we were still sinners. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God commends his love towards us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Listen to Hebrews 7:25. The author of Hebrews says this, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Romans 8:34, who is to condemn? You know why I'm giving you so many scripture verses? Because I want you to know I'm not making this up. This is straight from God's word. Romans 8:34, Paul says, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God right now, who indeed is interceding for us. He now lives again to intercede for us. You know what the resurrection of Jesus tells us? He's living, and right now, at this very moment, he's praying for you. What are you going through right now? What are the hard things that you're going through? What sin struggle are you plagued by right now? Is there something you're hiding maybe? We all do that. Some real challenge, some difficulty you can't overcome, you're overwhelmed. I want to tell you something, friends. Jesus is alive. He knows exactly what you're going through. He sees your tears. And he is helping you by praying for you to his heavenly Father. Okay, answer me, even if you're not very theological. Is God the Father not going to listen to God the Son? God the Son is right now at the right hand of God praying for you and what you're going through, knowing exactly what you're going through. I've told this story before here at Trinity, but I had a professor named David Powelson. And David was a counseling professor, a wonderful professor. He's with the Lord now. When I was in grad school with him, his little daughter, Hannah, would get into little problems, and David or his wife would help correct her and say, you know, we need to talk about this. We need to pray. And you know what Hannah's little response would be? He would tell us this. So I wrote it down. I've never forgotten it. He would say, Daddy, Jesus is helping me. You know what she was trying to say? I'll get there. Jesus is helping me. You're never alone. You're never going to be alone. Your burden's not too heavy for him. He's praying for you, specifically with that issue, that problem. And God the Father will not deny him. Let me move on. The fourth assurance, Jesus' resurrection from the dead assures us and guarantees for us our own resurrection from the dead one day. Every single person who believes in Jesus as the true Son of God is guaranteed the same outcome as reward from God the Father as Jesus himself got, a bodily resurrection. Do you know that? Do you know that your bodies, do you love your bodies? Mine's falling apart at just 53 years old. It's falling apart. And I am looking forward to the day when Jesus says, here's a new one. It's not going to have all those creaks and pains and all that stuff. Arthritis. Cholesterol. He's going to give us a new body because Jesus got a new body. Because Christ was just the first of the harvest of the resurrection bodies coming out of the earth. At His coming again, His second advent, all those who belong to Christ will also be made alive again in their bodies. How amazing and hopeful we can be of seeing our believing loved ones again, to be reunited forever with God in heaven. After my mom died in 2016, I was walking through the backyard where she used to garden. This is in North Jersey. And I found there on the grass her glasses. And I go, oh my gosh, how did she drop this here and the lawnmower not destroy it? There was her old glasses in one piece. I picked it up, cherished it. I thought, I'm going to keep this forever to show my children and my grandchildren. And then I had this moment where I thought, she does not need those now. She can see clearly. She doesn't need those now. She is in front of King Jesus, who says, see with all brightness and glory. Friends, at her funeral, I had the privilege to tell people she is more alive now than she ever was before. Did you hear what I said? She's more alive now at this moment than she ever was before. And if she could come back and tell us from heaven a word right now at the funeral, you know what she would say? It's all true. Everything is true. It's all true. It's beautiful here. There is no more pain or crying or death or sadness. It's all true. Friends, let me read for you these verses, and then I'll close in just a moment, okay? 1 Corinthians 15. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. And one more passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with a voice of an archangel, and with a sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. You're never going to be alone again. Here or there, you will always be with the Lord. For my closing, I have a prayer sent to me by one of my mentors. So I'm going to ask you, actually, you don't have to close your eyes. But in lieu of my closing prayer, I'm going to read this because I thought it was so beautifully written and sent. And I want you to take it in. Take in every word. If you want a copy, I'll email it to you so you can meditate on this again. But friends, hearing all that I've said, I want to remind you, we are a community of people of hope. Jesus is coming back for us. And we're going to be with him forever. Would you listen as I close with these words of a prayer? Lord, this day, we pray that by preached word, by gathered people, by present spirit, by pierced hearts, by captivated minds, by humbled wills, we remember, we rejoice, we relish, we revel, we rest, we repeat, we repent, so that our inner person will irreversibly realize in the fullness of time, at your command, by your power, for your glory, hell's gate cracked into innumerable shattered shards by the single blow of a shepherd's staff. The father of lies realized his great assassinating assault on the incarnate son actually accomplished the absolute opposite of his Judas hijacking scheme. On this day, a former corpse dealt such a blow to darkness that it truly began Satan's utter defeat and utter decimation. When the sepulcher or the grave or the tomb released its most resistant resident that it had ever encased in cursed tight shackles, the great reversal of all that is ruined, wrong, reeling, and ravaged began. The curse rightly and righteously pronounced began to be the curse fully and finally reversed. The Father pronounced, case closed, justice satisfied, payment accepted, debt forgiven, penalty paid. Heaven's grace conquered the otherwise unstoppable advance of sin's slithering slaughter of the sheep Jesus loves so protectively. Death's vice grip loosened and life itself was breathed into lungs otherwise dead forever. Kingdom good. And with a rock-splitting thunderclap, drenched time and space like a vitality-restoring downpour after a drought. The grave that would one day empty all graves gave up its unkeepable captive, its most unlikable prisoner, unkillable prisoner, the unconquerable and uncontainable king, our friend, our brother, our groom, our master, our shepherd. Help us, O Lord, help us, please. Help us sing with abandon and wonder and praise that explodes from our reborn hearts in the name of the greatest escaped liberator, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks be unto God.